Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Listen for God's word. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they argued about with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. This last week was the Jewish holiday Yom Kippur, where Jews fast and pray and atone for sins against God and against one another. There is a prayer that is to be said 10 times on Yom Kippur. "We have sinned against you, God, of our own free will, by hardening our hearts, speaking openly and privately, knowingly and deceitfully, in our speech with impure lips, giving in to our worst urges, speaking ill of our neighbors, throwing off restraints, ensnaring our neighbors, taking false oaths, and in baseless hatred." They also review a list of 44 sins that as a collective body they have committed. The theology is that if the atonement is done properly, enough beating of the chest, prayers of confession, fasting, giving to charity, and true repentance, then you stand a chance that God might forgive you. I read a letter recently from a son to his estranged father on Yom Kippur, which was part of his repentance. "Dear Dad, it's Yom Kippur morning, and the rabbis taught Yom Kippur does not atone for sins committed against others, not until one asks for forgiveness and makes vows to make amends. I am writing to ask for your forgiveness. I love you. I am sorry. I am sorry for..." And then he goes on to list the things specifically he did wrong. The letter continues, "I'm sorry for causing you grief and pain and tears. I am sorry. I ask for your forgiveness, if and whenever you are able to forgive. I love you. I vow to be kinder and more appreciative of you. I promise to do everything I can to make my home a home where you feel welcome." The letter continues with other specific things the son will do to make amends and concludes with an invitation to join the family for Thanksgiving and one final apology. It's a very intimate letter, but it's also sort of a perfectly written apology, as though the rabbi handed out a Yom Kippur Mad Libs, saying, "Write here the name of the person you have hurt. Write the sin that you have committed. Write the adjective for how you feel about your sin. Write an action you will take to repair the relationship. Write a word of affirmation of the other. Sign your name." Reformed theology does not follow this pattern that you must ask and then work to make amends before you can be forgiven. And only if your actions are sufficient will God forgive you. Reformed theology is big on grace. Ask and you shall receive. God's forgiveness is always available to the sinner who will repent. Reformed theology says that it is God's grace that frees us to atone for sin, reform our lives, and repair the damage that has been done. The distinction is the difference between two theological camps: salvation by grace alone and salvation by good works. Let me start by saying I believe in salvation by grace alone. I do not think we can properly atone for our sins to earn forgiveness or salvation. But that being said, I think there is a place in the church for the type of atonement and public repentance that our Jewish brothers and sisters practice. If you've been reading the news about the Roman Catholic Church, then you will understand why I feel this especially right now. The Roman Catholic Church has been silent at best and complicit at worst in allowing horrible sins to be committed against children and the most vulnerable in our society. In our prayer of confession, we often say, "For what we have done and for what we have failed to do." This situation is a case where some people have sinned by what they have done, and others have clearly sinned by what they have failed to do. The president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in August called this a moral catastrophe. I should say so. It is hard to even fathom it. The horrific crimes committed against children by those called to holy orders. The church in this case should have insisted on public confession, demanded they seek forgiveness from those they have hurt, and insisted they vowed to amend their lives. Then the church should have defrocked these individuals and removed them from any opportunity whatsoever to commit these crimes again. Then and only then should they have been left to work out their salvation with God Almighty with fear and trembling. And yet none of this seems to have happened. And so the church has failed. In Mark's gospel, the disciples were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Jesus, overhearing them, brought a child into their midst and said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me, not me, but the one who sent me." "You are not the greatest," Jesus says. "This child is great. The lowly, the vulnerable, the young, they are great in the eyes of the Lord. And woe to the one who disrespects, overlooks, or abuses these beloved children of our Lord." In Luke and Matthew and Mark, Jesus says, "If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the stumbling blocks." Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. Jesus says a lot of confusing things in the Bible. This is not one of those things. You just can't get much clearer than this. If you welcome the children, the vulnerable and the lowly, you welcome Jesus and you welcome God. If you do not welcome the children, never mind you hurt them, you mistreat them, you abuse them, woe to you and woe to the church who allowed this to happen. The church needs to say publicly, specifically, and repeatedly that it repents for the sins that have been committed, that it vows to reform immediately and promises to seek justice, and that it prays for forgiveness. The church needs to say this because the victim needs to hear that the church's transgressions have absolutely nothing to do with God's love for them. The church needs to say this because people are rightfully suspicious of religious leadership and church hierarchy, and they are leaving the Christian churches right and left because of this. The church needs to say this because if it doesn't, It put stumbling blocks in front of people of faith who were trying to make sense of how this possibly could have happened. And millstones, in case you haven't seen them lately, are very big, very heavy. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and largely I owe my faith to the wonderful Catholic influences I had around me. Theological differences and the obvious glass ceiling issue meant I would not be a lifelong Catholic. And with this current crisis at hand, it would be easy to say that the Roman Catholic Church is not my church. It is not our church, except that it is our church. We cannot stand aside and cast judgment for two reasons. First of all, Jesus says, "He who is without sin may cast the first stone," and the Presbyterian Church is not without sin. And second of all, the Roman Catholic Church is part of the Catholic Church. Roman Catholic, capital C, is part of the Universal Catholic Church, lowercase c. We get this question every new members class. Why do we say in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church when we are not Catholic? When used in this form, lowercase c, it means Universal Church of Jesus Christ. Catholic Church, capital C, refers to the Church of Rome, the church led by the Pope, which I have been referring today for clarity as the Roman Catholic Church. When we profess we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, it means we believe we are united in faith with other Christians, even if we are different denominationally and stylistically and even theologically. It means we affirm a belief that our church brings us together with people united in Christ, Baptist and Congregationalists and Pentecostalists and Roman Catholics. We believe we are connected in Christ, and so we cannot stand aside in judgment and say, we wash our hands of it, because that's not what we believe. We are part of the church universal, and that church is broken, and our brethren are hurting. So what do we do? First, we get our house in order. We make sure that the young, the vulnerable at our church are honored and nurtured and protected. We do this by how we treat each other, but also by the policies we enact, the boundaries we set, and the training we provide. Second, we stand alongside the victims, the innocent, the hurting, providing friendship and sanctuary and whatever resources are required. And lastly, we work to build a Catholic church, small c, which more clearly reflects the kingdom of God. A church where the hurting find comfort, the weary find strength, the doubting find faith, and the children find love. For that is the kingdom vision. In the Roman Catholic Church, when you make the sacrament of confession before a priest, one of the common prayers and the assignments for penance is to say the act of contrition. Any of you ex-Catholics out there will know this by heart. You are assigned this to say it 10, 20, 40 times based on the magnitude of your sin. The prayer goes, and I can say it really fast if you want me to. Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all of my sins because of thy just punishment, but most of all because they offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. And I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more and to avoid the nearer occasion of sin. At Yom Kippur, they say their prayer of confession 10 times. We might do well to begin with the act of contrition 10,000 times. For surely the Lord is offended by the Catholic Church, big C and small c. We seek forgiveness. We pray for God's grace. And we must work for reformation. Amen.